along the lines of escapist theology. It's part of the problem that they had. Well, why should I work? The Lord's coming back. He's going to zap me out of here. Why? Let's just eat, drink, and be merry, man. But we command you. Again, you see that word command, brethren, body of Christ, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which he received from us. So this is a disorderly walk he's talking about, and not even a fellowship with them, to rebuke them. Say, man, go get a life. Don't enable it. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we were not disorderly among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with labor and toil night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. Not because we did not have authority. Of course, Paul is giving out the word of God as treading out the grain. He was deserving of being provided for by those he gave the spiritual blessing to, for his material needs to be met. But he didn't take advantage of that, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. And rather, he wanted them to see that you should work. So he sat and made tents and didn't take from them. And he stayed busy, and he bought his own food, and he bought his own bed to sleep in at night. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this: if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. There again, they tie together. See, if you're not doing one, you're doing the other. Now those who are such we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in well-doing and doing good. And if anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, note that person and do not keep company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet you don't count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Isn't that an interesting word there? Wouldn't the church be good to go back and heed some of the words of the Bible? And maybe we could rescue some people out of the welfare mentality and into the lazy and slothful mentality and the busybody mentality and the sowing of discord mentality and breaking fellowship with neighbors and friends because of meddling and passing on secrets and doing all this kind of junk and getting busy and do something with your life. That's all it's saying, isn't it? Be sanctified, be set apart. You're not to be like the world, you're to be different. And this is the word of the Lord. And Paul said as he began this back in 1 Thessalonians 4, that if you're not hearing, if you don't receive this, it isn't from me, it's from the Lord. It's the Lord saying these things, not me. Now I'm going to just quickly read a couple places from 2 Chronicles 31 to give us a concept here as we close. This one's Hezekiah. I had the privilege Wednesday night of leading Hezekiah to a rededication of the Lord. Got the park. Been running for a long time, 15 years, he said. Anyway. The first verse of chapter 31 of 2 Chronicles. Now when all this was finished, all Israel who were present went out to the cities of Judah and broke the sacred pillars in pieces, cut down the wooden images, and threw down the high places and the altars from all Judah, Benjamin, Ephraim, and Manasseh until they had utterly destroyed them all. Then all the children of Israel returned to their own cities, every man to his possession, and Hezekiah appointed. Now the first point of all this is this: you got to destroy all the things you put your hand and your efforts to that are worldly, that are for purposes of the world. We're God's kids now. We're set apart. Our life's not our own. We're stewards, and our lives are to reflect that stewardship of God. So yeah, work and do. But there's a greater calling in work than to stay busy and to put a roof. It's also to be an example. It's also to be a witness to the people you work around. It's a higher calling we have as Christians. Wouldn't you agree? Because now that we're a stewardship, and God will use that workplace and the people you come in contact with, not only for social interaction, but also that you can be a witness to those that don't know the Lord by your action, by your ethic, your work ethic, by your ability to not gossip and talk about the boss and do all those things, you see? These are good things. Now, the second thing, verse 8 of that same chapter, it says, when Hezekiah and the leaders came and saw the heaps. See, the heaps were the gifts. The children, when people are working and productive and busy, God blesses that, and they have produce. They reap. what they've sown from, and then they give back to the Lord, right? So the heaps were there because God was blessing them because they were working. Then the first thing they would do, the first fruits would go back to the Lord. They had the heaps. They blessed the Lord and his people. And so the second thing is, one of the things we do with our jobs, and I'm just being honest with you, God wants to put it into our hands because he needs his, he wants his people to give back to him. First fruits in appreciation of what he's given us. It's a biblical concept. It's the right thing to do. God, thank you. Look at David. That we are able to give back to you from what you've given us. That's the idea. We work hard because God, the Holy Spirit, puts a work ethic in us. God blesses the fruit of our hands. Then we give back to him and say thank you. And his church functions because of that. And he works in the world because of believers that understand this is what working is all about. That's our purpose as Christians, set apart Christians. Now look at verse 20 and 21 there. Same chapter. Hezekiah did this throughout all Judah, and he did what was good and right and true before the Lord his God. And in every work that he began in the service of God, in the house of God, in the law and in the commandments to seek his God, he did it with all his heart. Boy, isn't that a big one there? What a witness you can be is when you're doing, you do it with all your heart, no matter what it is. That's what Paul says in Colossians, is whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord. Do it with all your heart to be a witness to God. And then what's the last three words there? So he prospered. Jesus told us that it's more blessed to give than to receive. That's the words that Paul uses. Jesus personally told me, blessed means happy. Oh, how happy. It's another paradox, as Josh said. How can I be happier in this world? Trying to sponge and seeing how I can bless. God, if God wants us to give and to be a blessing to people, he's got to give it to us to do it, right? He wants to give to us. He wants to bless us. He wants us to be used to bless. The love of the Holy Spirit in us, shed abroad in our hearts, in everything we are and do. God wants to fill you to overflowing, to meet all of your needs and then some. We're not to be a welfare people anymore. We're to be a people seeking to be able to give, because that's what our God is. He's a giving God, and he wants to channel his love through our lives. These are simple procedures. And to close here, and I'm not even going to be able to read out of my treasure chest here. It has some good sayings in that. But it says right here at the end of 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 12, the reasons that we do this. Number one, it's a witness. It says that we would walk properly towards those who are outside. Number one, it's a witness to the world. The unbeliever is those on the outside, right? A Christian should never be looked at as a sponge bobber, a slackard, or as a busybody, or as a gossip. It's not a good witness. We've been set apart. We're sanctified from these things, see? And the second one right there, that you may lack nothing. God wants us to provide for us, that we're not lacking in anything that we need. We got to distinguish the wants and the needs here, but he doesn't want us to be lacking in anything we need. We have genuine needs. I was shared with some genuine needs this morning. God wants to answer those needs and take care of them. He wants to do it in a way that we can be a witness to the world around us. He wants to bless us and meet all of our needs so that we can bless others. And that's the mindset. It's one thing to grow up with the idea is, you know, I can work and I can take care of myself. That's a good work ethic for the world. Our calling as a Christian is, I'm going to work to take care of all of my needs. The Lord will take care of my needs, but also that I can meet the needs of others too. In addition, see, that's our calling as Christians. It just is. It's higher. We're sanctified. We're set apart for these things. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your word. And Lord, I thank you today that, Lord, all of us here that have a job, Lord, it is a blessing. It is a gift. And we thank you for our paychecks, Father. We thank you for we're not going hungry, Lord. Lord, teach us to be thankful for what you've given us. Lord, teach us that even in our daily work, that we can be witnesses to the world around us by our attitude, by our thankfulness for what you've done for us. Lord, teach us to be a blessing to others, Father. I'm willing, Lord, I'm open. Open the windows of heaven onto my life and pour more blessing and things to me. Not for me, Lord. I don't want to consume it on my flesh. But Lord, I want to use those things to help others in need. And I thank you, Father, that that's your heart. Give me the faith to believe you. In Christ's name, amen.